Diocese of New Zealand
of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents
In the Narthex
with Father Paul Patitsis.
Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church.
And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. As always, it's a blessing to be with you on this beautiful Friday, as we're now officially in summer. I think summer is finally here. And in New Zealand, of course, we're seeing the blooming of the wonderful Pohutukawa tree. Which, if you've never heard of it, if you're listening somewhere other than New Zealand, you haven't heard of it. It's a beautiful tree that is a green, of course, its leaves, its flower is red. And at the tip of the little pistils of the flower, a little touch of gold. And we'll talk about that tree a little bit later, how beautiful and how significant it is. But now, just a touch of Christmas. Enjoying that so much. O Come Emmanuel, one of the most ancient Christmas carols, obviously written as a church hymn, not for the Eastern Orthodox tradition, but the Western tradition, and a beautiful hymn at that. And It's to prepare us. We have something similar in the Orthodox Church. We say, today the Virgin comes to the cave to give birth to the one who is beyond all being. And so we prepare for the coming of the Son of God. And that's what Christmas is about, of course. And hopefully you already knew that, but if not, maybe you heard it here. And I want to share with you now from the Gospel of Matthew a little bit about Christmas. Matthew chapter 2. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And just by the way, the name Jesus, or Jesus, or Jesus, as we say in Greek, in the Hebrew, Yeshua, means God saves. God saves. So Jesus' human name is already a giveaway to his divinity. We're going to try now to play something. Let's see how this works.
Suinkaan ole vähäisin Juudean ruhtinaista, sillä Israelin paimen Kristus, jota kerubit kantavat, on lähtenyt sinusta. Hän on ylentänyt meidän voimamme sarven ja hallitsee nyt kaikkia.
Kristus, sinä
just now from the Christmas canon of the Orthodox Church, sung in the Estonian Orthodox tradition. I don't know if you've heard the Estonian language before. Some of you, our listeners, may be Estonian. And we have a shout out to Paul. Of course, Paul can't hear us. He can only hear us with the ears of the Spirit because he's passed away. But we think of Paul often, Paul Vigro, and ask God to grant him rest. And to his son, who's still living, peace and mercy. So I thought that you would like hearing that, something from the Orthodox tradition, which is not often heard on this program, or perhaps any program, and that is the beautiful Estonian tradition. So we are going to continue just a little bit more reading of this beautiful passage of Scripture from Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus. That's the beautiful Christmas story. divine, O night divine, the day that Christ was born was such a beautiful day. And why do we honor it so much? If you're not a Christian, you might find this all a little bit puzzling. Why should we honor so much the birth of one more child in the world? But of course, as Christians, we believe in faith that Jesus Christ was God's very own Son. To put it another way, God became man. He lived on earth with us. And that wall of separation between uncreated God and created man, between all that is holy and all that is terrestrial, was dissolved. God became one with his creation. But at the same time, when we say that, in an unmingled union, says the church, in other words, it's not a fuzzy thing where God and man somehow become the same thing. So we don't believe in pantheism, certainly, that all human beings can become God in the same way that God is God, but that God joined himself completely to this full human being from the womb, so that the person in the womb is God. The person who says, I, is God. Without the sharing of, without the mingling of the natures, but keeping them connected, joined, but yet somehow distinct. I don't even want to say separate, because the church wouldn't use that word, but distinct. And so God, by becoming man, heals all that is human. And we are the beneficiaries of that wonderful gift. And of course, in our loving God, we can be healed of all of the brokenness of our own lives. And you may say, well, I'm not broken, I'm fine, I don't need that. And I hope that's the case, you know, God bless you if that's the case. But the more I look at myself, and the longer I look at myself, the more I realize there's need for healing here. And I think most of us, if we are honest with ourselves, we'll see that in our hearts there's need for healing. And that God came to heal. He also came to love. So that at the deepest part of who we are, we can know we are loved. Even the parts of us that we hide from our spouses, our friends, the things that we think are too dark to be known, God loves us. It doesn't mean that he loves the sin in us, but he loves us despite our sin, and hopes to heal us from everything that keeps us from being who we are fully meant to be. And I think that's an important kind of thing to know. I hope you agree with me on that. So we're enjoying this Christmas playlist put together by Presbytera Katarina. She's not with us today because she's visiting family for a funeral. And so our sympathies to her at the loss of her uncle, and may God rest his soul. Now, another loss of our family just back in August was that of Katina, whose music we've often played on the program. And so I want to play this song in honor of Presbytera's uncle and our sister-in-law, Katina.
I love thee, Lord Jesus.
Just love that song, Silent Night. And I read one time the story about that song. I don't know if you've ever heard that story, but it's very, very unusual. The man who wrote the song didn't know that it was going to be so popular. He wrote it for his little church. It's in the middle of some winter. He didn't have anyone to play the organ, so he played it by guitar. And then his children learned to sing it, and one day they were in a village far from where they were born, and they were singing that song. And someone heard it and said, where did you hear that song? And they wrote it down, and then other people started singing it. But meanwhile, the man who wrote it had no idea. It was becoming more and more popular, and finally someone decided to find out who was the author of that song, and to honor him for that great gift that he gave to the world of Silent Night. We are coming close to the end of our program today. We have a little more time still. But I just want to, again, to thank you for your listening this whole past year, 2018. We're close to the end of it now. And also to acknowledge all of you who have been with us for the entire 6 years. It's been a very long journey of song and praise to the Lord and lessons and sermons and lives of saints and so forth that we've shared with you over the years. If you'll allow me now, I want to share with you. Let's see if I can do this, because I'm not quite sure if I know how to do this, but I will try. I'm going to try and play you a little music. Let's see. Okay. Okay, I'm not figuring that one out. But to tell you the story of Saint Eleftherios. This saint had Rome as his homeland. His feast day is tomorrow, by the way. Having been orphaned of his father from childhood, he was taken by his mother, Anthea, to Aniketus, the bishop of Rome, by whom he was instructed in the sacred letters, that is to say, in the divine scripture. Though still very young in years, he was made bishop of Illyricum by reason of his surpassing virtue. If you look at his icon, he seems to be in early 20s. And by his teaching, he converted many unbelievers to Christ. However, during a harsh persecution that was raised against the Christians under Hadrian, who reigned from the year 117 to the year 138, the saint was arrested by the tyrants. Enduring many torments for Christ, he was finally put to death by two soldiers about the year 126. As for his Christ-loving mother, Anthea, while embracing the remains of her son and kissing them with maternal affection, she was also beheaded. And that would, again, in the year 126, on the date, December 15th. So we ask for the prayers of St. Eleftherios. What a great saint of the Church, you know, a very, very loving human being. And if you see his icon, you kind of can't help but notice his virtue, because he's such a young man, and God blessed him to, in that short time, to attain so much virtue. And that's quite an accomplishment. So... As always, we're listening to this is Divina, but this is the sacred radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, whose Archshepherd is His Eminence Archbishop Miron. Have a blessed Christmas. We'll talk to you one more time before Christmas, but if we don't catch you then, we're glad we caught you now. Merry Christmas, and all the best to you at the conclusion of 218. Gospode vi, ja.